The Truth News Network. In a world where idiocracy is the new world order, it takes a strong voice to speak the truth. This is TNN, the Truth News Network. And your beacon of light in the tunnel of lies is Dan Newman.
Maybe the correct word instead of idiocracy should just be idiocy. That's what we're talking about here today at Truth News Network. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome to our show today titled Fear and Loathing. Fear and Loathing. Now, there was a book, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and then a sequel, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, 1972. The 72 book was written by Hunter Thompson. It was a sequel to that original, and it focused almost exclusively on the Democrat Party's primaries and the breakdown of the party itself as it split between the different candidates in 1972. A particular focus was the manic maneuvering of the George McGovern campaign during the Miami convention as they sought to ensure the Democrat nomination, despite attempts by the Hubert Humphrey campaign and other candidates to block McGovern. Thompson began his coverage of the campaign in December of 71, just as the race toward the primaries was getting started from a rented apartment in Washington, D.C. Over the next 12 months, in great detail, he covered every aspect of the campaign, from the smallest rally to the raucous conventions themselves. And he covered it as a war in politics. Well, it's uncanny, the many parallels between the 72 election and the upcoming 2020 election, as Dems already at 20 in number have begun what is a vicious battle for the Democrat Party spot to face off against Donald Trump. Each of the already declared Democrat hopefuls certainly dreads that the tactics used against Governor in 1972 and similarly in 2016 against Bernie Sanders by the party to make certain he would not take the party nomination away from Hillary. Remember that in 2016, Bernie was blacklisted in the party with those superdelegates that Hillary controlled all of. These candidates in the Democrat Party are scared to death that might reappear in 2020. Probably won't happen, but stranger things have happened, as we know. There already is a war of agreement between the declared Democrat candidates. Their war, it's against capitalism and all who stand for it. Think about that. In the United States of America, the Democrat Party, there are people running for president that want to get rid of capitalism. And they especially hate the number one capitalist in the nation, Donald Trump. A large party of the Democrat Party actually has been brainwashed to some mystical magic in socialism. Those people are fearful that capitalism will remain in the U.S. It's funny. Every good thing we have in America is a direct or an indirect result of capitalism and its opportunities for all. Socialism? There's no example in world history of socialism ever surviving. Why is that? Well, to quote United Kingdom former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, here's her explanation for socialism failing every time. She said, "Socialism always fails because they eventually run out of other people's money to spend." That being said, the skeletal pieces of the Democrat Party platform are so outlandish, at least so far to most Americans, it remains to be seen when the internal attacks among these candidates that are certain to show up during their primaries will begin. But there is plenty of ammunition that each of them can use. Well, we're talking about fear and loathing. Let's begin by talking about fear. There certainly was fear in 72 among Democrats. Half of the Democrats feared McGovern winning their nomination. The other half were afraid of Humphrey doing so. The loathing was divided along similar lines. It had been quite a while that Dems were split and so divided. Remember, they had been through a glorious decade that began with the installation of Camelot at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. JFK's personal magnetism and his populist message that, you know what, if you go back and pull out a history book and read about JFK's policies when he was president. Of course, he was a great Democrat leader. His policies were almost the same as conservative policies today. They are far more conservative than even Bill Clinton's Democrat Party. His tragic death left a massive hole that none could plug for the Democrats until Bill Clinton. Clinton put Democrat fears to rest for a while. Democrats seized the opportunity for power. That was Clinton's legacy to the Democrat Party. Clinton led the takeover of the American government while conservatives slept. By the time George W. Bush took the oath of office, Democrats had transformed every government agency in D.C. to operate simply as a tool for powers of the Democrat leaders. The tool used to seize benign support was the hunger by those politicos to simply be invited in to partake of the freebies of unimaginable magnitude that accompanies unfettered power and control of every part of U.S. government. I've often wondered why the Democrats so adore Bill Clinton, and still do to this day. The Clinton admiration comes with total disregard, think of this, of the plethora of examples of corruption that went on during his 8 years in office. He created and implemented the methodology that literally took the U.S. government control away from we the people and gave it to the leaders of the Democrat Party. Probably 95% of the middle class in America that are members of that party have no idea how the other 5% use hundreds of processes stealthily created by their hero and his minions in the 90s to stealthily take control of the government. It's so bad today that the only thing left for the American people is the right to vote, and Dems have watered down what our vote means, or if it means anything at all. And to regain all the power they lost, they desperately fight to eliminate the Electoral College, which is the only protection from the government the American voters still own. Democrats fear American conservatives and conservatism itself. Why? Those Americans and conservatism are the only two things that can steal back the power that Democrats have stolen from Americans. They fear the truth that they see and hear from people like Limbaugh, Hannity, Ingram, Carlson, Fox News, Breitbart, Bongino, and the few conservative newspapers in the country that are believed by Americans who went to sleep regarding the political process 20 years ago. They fear the truth. They fear that the sleeping giant of government by, of, and for the people will awaken Americans to the sneaky giant of big government who has already wrestled D.C. power away and has initiated an all-out war to hold on to it. Leftists fear Donald Trump. Why? Not one national politician in recent history has ever won a presidency and given to the American public everything that he could from all the list of things he promised during his campaign. Democrat or Republican, Donald Trump is the first since Ronald Reagan to do that. And they are scared to death of the wins during the young Trump presidency that includes his campaign promises, and the leftist media don't even cover all the good things Americans know are there during the Trump presidency. How could their missionary appointed to send Trump packing using that fake Steele dossier as evidence of Trump colluding with Russians fail in that one simple task? How could Mueller, with an unlimited budget, staff, and access to all things Donald Trump, fail to find enough evidence against him to jumpstart impeachment? They are so afraid that their determination was to simply ignore their hero's findings of no there there, no collusion, no obstruction of justice, and decided to just pick up the mantle of dumping Trump themselves. With their newfound control of the House, they're going to investigate everything and everybody that has any Trump connection into oblivion. That's how fearful they all are. Loathing? Well, let's define the word. Some might not know what it actually means. Its definition: extreme disgust, detestation, aversion, disgust, distaste, horror, nausea, repugnance, repulsion, and revulsion. Wow, Loathing's pretty wicked, pretty powerful, pretty out there. And you know what? We'd be here all night if we listed everything and everybody Democrats loathe today. So here's what we're going to do. Let's just bullet point a few for you. Democrats loathe, and we'll start right at the top. President Donald Trump. Everyone who works for the president. Every member of his family. Attorney General William Barr. Republican leadership in the House and the Senate. Every elected Republican or conservative in Congress. Fox News and every other honest news reporting entity. The Republican National Committee. The rule of law. Equal justice under the law. And to be honest with you, they loathe the U.S. Constitution. The Electoral College, national borders, U.S. immigration in its entirety, ICE and all those who work within ICE, immigration laws, campaign finance laws, tax reductions on corporations and Americans personally. And that's just a few. What do liberals, Democrats, loathe the most? Americans who voted for and support Donald Trump. We're going to wrap things up. We've got a video and an audio post for you to listen to from a U.S. congressman that kind of tells the whole story. Sit tight. We'll be right back with that and more at truthnewsnet.org.
He'll never let you fall to the lies. Your bulwark against the tide of fake news. Dan Newman, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
Dear Daddy, dear Mom, I love you. I miss you.
Every year, Snowball Express honors the children of fallen soldiers. Hi, everybody. I'm Tony Orlando. Join me in proudly supporting Snowball Express, a nonprofit that creates opportunities to help heal the children of our fallen heroes. We can never repay the sacrifice our soldiers have made, but we can honor them by giving back to their children. Donate now at snowballexpress.org.
It's hard to hear the truth, but if the truth will set us free, we'd rather enjoy freedom. TNN, the Truth News Network. Again, Dan Newman.
Fear and loathing is where we are today on this trip. Where are the Democrats? Well, they certainly have very obviously shown their total rejection of the findings of their darling, Robert Mueller. Their fear and loathing just launched their processes of going after all things Trump into a part two. Well, they're going to impeach this president. We've told you that from the very beginning of this entire thing. In fact, on the day the Mueller probe was announced. After all, Donald Trump has attacked their gravy train of an unadulterated power. And the one tool that Trump has used to bring success in that process is something that horrifies Democrats and liberals alike, who are even farther left than Democrats. Yeah, there's a bunch of Democrats that used to be middle of the road, and then they became what they call progressives, we call liberals. But there are folks in their party that are even further left. They're embracing totalitarianism. And remember that those far lefties are pushing the Democrat Party farther left than it's ever been in American history. Now, how are they going to get to impeachment if Mueller found no collusion, no obstruction of justice? In closing, rather than giving you our summary and answer that question, let's turn to one of the ringleaders of the process of dumping Trump, Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York. He's chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Now, just so you know what that means, that's where that committee, the House Judiciary Committee, if Democrats do launch formal impeachment actions, articles of impeachment must be created in his committee. Listen closely to what he says in this conversation with ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler. Congressman, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
This morning, you just heard Sarah Sanders of the White House press secretary. She says that the White House reading of the Mueller report and the attorney general's reading of the Mueller report is that he left the decision of obstruction to the attorney general, who made it rightly.
Well, that's just wrong. I mean, it's another one of the lies that Sarah Sanders and lots of people in the administration have been making. Mueller, the special prosecutor, made very clear that he couldn't reach a determination on obstruction of justice, basically because of certain Justice Department guidelines, which didn't allow him to do that. But that he laid it out for Congress to do, not for the Attorney General to arrogate to himself the power to do it. The Attorney General has revealed himself, Barr has revealed himself as an agent of the president, not the Attorney General of the entire American people. He's the defense attorney for the people. He clearly misled over a period of 4 weeks from the March 24th letter right through his press conference yesterday. He consistently misled the American people as to what was in the report. He said that they found no collusion, whereas the special prosecutor specifically said collusion is not a legal term, and he didn't make any finding. He said we hadn't reached a finding on criminal conspiracy.
Do you accept that finding from Robert Mueller that there was no criminal conspiracy?
Well, he wasn't able to prove a criminal conspiracy, and one of the reasons he said he wasn't able to do it was that lots of people destroyed evidence, perjured themselves. So I accept his conclusion that he couldn't prove it.
And based on the reading, 188 pages of evidence or so on obstruction of justice, do you believe the president committed obstruction of justice?
I believe he committed obstruction of justice, yes, but it's not up to me. It's up to
you're the chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah,
you can open impeachment proceedings.
Well, we have to, but we're not there. We have to now, because Barr misled the country, we have to hear from Barr, which we will on May 2nd. We have to hear from Mueller and ask him a lot of questions. We have to hold hearings and hear from other people, both on the question of obstruction of justice, where, as I said, the special prosecutor invited Congress to look into that, not the Attorney General. We have to look into all that. We need the entire report, unredacted, and the underlying documents in order to make informed decisions. And after we get that, and we will subpoena that entire report today.
That subpoena is coming today?
That subpoena will come in the next couple of hours,
including
yes.
The grand jury evidence.
Including the grand jury evidence, yes. Because we have to see the entire report. And by the way, in every previous instance, Congress has seen all the evidence. The Attorney General in previous instances, both with Clinton, with Nixon, went to court with the...
But that's not going to happen here. And a lot of legal experts believe you'd be on much stronger ground to get that grand jury evidence if you actually opened an official impeachment proceeding.
Yes. Some people believe that. I believe that one of the things that we need that evidence for is to determine whether to do that or not. We have to determine what the proper course of action is to deal with a president who's been shown in this report, very clearly shown to lie all the time, culture of lying, to have, if not colluded with, in the plain meaning of the term, colluded with the Russians, not the criminal conspiracy. I mean, one of the things that the special prosecutor finds is that the Russians were clearly out to help Trump, that the Trump campaign knew about it and welcomed their assistance, and in some cases knew about what they were going to do and what WikiLeaks was going to do in advance. They couldn't prove criminal conspiracy, but they were certainly proving cooperation. That is very disturbing, to cooperate with a foreign power.
And that is all we have time for today. Congressman, thanks very much for your time this morning.
Folks, Nadler is an attorney, but he never practiced law anywhere after he got his law degree in New York. He's been a politician his entire professional life, who in this interview in error calls Robert Mueller special prosecutor rather than special counsel, which is what Mueller was. There's a huge difference under the law between a special prosecutor and a special counsel. Gerald Nadler, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and an attorney, should know the difference. They are going to ultimately drive the impeachment train of Congress to perpetuate this dark chapter in American history, which is the largest and most obvious attempt by one group of people to overturn the results of a legal and just election of an American president, and do so without a shred of evidence supporting their doing so. When they do this, even if it's not successful, folks, and I don't believe it will be, even if it's not successful, this will go down as a darker day than even Watergate under President Richard Nixon. That's a wrap on today's story. Fear and loathing, not in Las Vegas, this time in Washington, D.C. Thanks for being here today. Again, much going on up there, and it affects all of us. We're on top of it for you. Stay close to truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.